San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power, heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone or other device. All these podcasts are heard commercial-free on iymoney.com, and we stream live on 760kfmb.com. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished marathon runner and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's good to be here.
Better than the Padres, I think.
I told you your Padres weren't a little real.
Houston. Basically, it is earlier in the week, but Houston has cleaned up on them the first couple of games there, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Told you they can't field.
Did you see Will Myers give them a home run last night? Bounced off his glove over the wall last night.
I told you they can't field.
Can you give a guy an error instead of a home run on something like that?
You can, yeah.
And wouldn't that be something? The guy gets a home run. I mean, it scores 2 points, but obviously on an error, you wouldn't
remember
get a
when Canseco had one bounce off his head and went over the wall for a home run?
Was that a home run or an error?
That was a home run.
But it could be an error, right?
You could not expect Jose Canseco to actually field.
I'm surprised he didn't bounce into the upper deck off of his head. But anyway, let's see. Anything else to report?
No, we got two guests tonight, so we got to get rolling.
Okay.
We got somebody really special on the line.
All right.
Ron Baker, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Cool. We have on the line I'm going to make up a new word, the best-sellingest author in the history of the certified public accountant world, the CPA world. That would be Ronald J. Baker. Ron, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys.
Our pleasure.
Hey, my understanding is you have your own radio show now. Is that right? Because I listen to it.
Yeah, we're on voiceamerica.com, and I do a show with my colleague Ed Kless. It's called The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy. And we talk about, you know, issues of pricing, marketing, leadership, all with a focus on the knowledge worker and the knowledge economy that we think we live in today.
Is that strictly online there, Ron, or is that are you on any affiliates or anything?
It is strictly online for now, but you know, I would love to grow it.
Well, you're growing it with us tonight because we have 50,000 watts. We're reaching up and down the coast of the west coast of the U.S. So there you go.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, was your last show about the best business book ever written?
That's our next show.
That's
yeah,
next
we're doing
one
that
coming up. Okay.
Day after tomorrow.
Okay, can you pre-announce it since? We're actually airing this 2 days after taping it.
You mean which book?
Or is it not going to be decided until you guys are doing the show?
Yeah, we probably won't decide it because we're thinking about turning that into a series. So we might discuss, you know, maybe our top 20 over 4 or 5 shows or something. So,
well, how about top three? What were your top three favorites just for the heck of it?
Besides your own.
Well, I have to say, I'll give a couple to you. One of my favorite all-time business books is actually an autobiography by a guy named Stanley Marcus, who was one of the sons of one of the founders of Neiman Marcus, and it's called Minding the Store, and I think it's simply one of the best books ever written on customer service. Mm. I mean, this man knew customer service. He knew the value of customer loyalty long before, you know, CRM and all this customer loyalty economics became a fad. And he's a great writer, and he's just a fascinating guy. I mean, and he was quite innovative. I mean, Neiman Marcus, you know, he did the His and Her catalog, the Christmas gifts. He did the, you know, the fashion show. He did a whole bunch of different innovations and just an incredible life story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marcus was the gentleman, I think, who said, if we hire people smaller than ourselves, we'll build a company of dwarfs, and if we hire people bigger than ourselves, we'll build a company of giants. I think that was Marcus, I think.
It might have been him, yeah. It sounds like something he would say, and if he didn't say it, he certainly believed it because he did surround himself with really bright people. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into your background a little bit, Ron. Born and raised where, and educated where, and then maybe.
And
can...
why on earth did you ever become a CPA?
Oh, wow. Born and raised in Santa Rosa, California. So I guess I'm a native Californian, which is a kind of a rare bird these
days. My wife
days.
Has tons of relatives up there. Hi, relatives.
And educated at San Francisco State University, and I started my career probably like you did, Richard, in a then Big 8 accounting firm in San Francisco, and I worked there for about 2.5 years until I got rusted out, and then started my own firm in about 1990 or about 1987 or so, and then ran that for like 13 years, and now I, ever since about the early 2000s, I'm the founder and CEO of Verus Age Institute, which is the think tank I run, and that's where we do all of our consulting and speaking and writing and trying to transform different professions into adopting, the knowledge economy that we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just for sake of reference, Ron, this is the first of a two-part series on the future of the CPA profession, the most trusted advisor concept, all of those concepts. Next week's guest after you and Dan this week are going to be Jody Paydar, who wrote a great book called The Radical CPA. Don't know if you've read that yet or not.
I have read it, yep.
Great book. And then also Richard Francis, who's the CEO of Spotlight Reporting.
Yep. Excellent.
So, anyway, it's first of a two-part series on that particular topic.
So when you train professionals, are they strictly accountants or are they from all walks of the business life?
All walks of we tend to focus on professional firms, although I work with general businesses, too. I'm on the faculty of Professional Pricing Society, which is kind of like Fortune 1000 companies. Mm. But Ideal and Verisage is really focused on the professional, what we call the professional knowledge firm. So lawyers, accountants, advertising agencies, architects, actuaries, IT consultants, consulting firms, those types. Basically anybody who pretty much bills by the hour, which we think is completely ridiculous, that's who we work with.
Yeah, and to that point, I know you're this would be, I guess, a little bit more than 20 years ago, right? Your the value pricing book that you wrote was 1990.
It was 1998 was the first book I published. Yeah, and it was a $149 book. In fact, it was published by Harcourt Brace down there in San Diego near you guys.
Jovanovich.
And then, of course, they were purchased by different companies, and it ended up at Aspen, or CCH actually was the final publisher. But that book went through six editions, and it sold for $150 and has sold over 40,000 copies. So it kind of put me on the map internationally across all the professions on this topic of value pricing.
But at the time, it really caused quite a furor because I would say at that time, 1998, probably 99.8% of professional service firms were charging by the hour, which is an approach that many, many customers, quite frankly, hate.
Yep. Yeah. Who likes to pay by the hour for anything? I mean, if you're a lawyer or your accountant has an asthma fit, or a cough attack, it just costs you $20.
Exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Exactly. But, my old CPA firm, which I sold in 2001, we stopped keeping timesheets in 1995, even before your book came out. So I take great pride in that.
Excellent.
Because for one thing, we realized how much time we were spending keeping track of time.
Yeah, and it's kind of a non-value-added activity.
Well, it makes you tired, for one thing. So it's actually a detracting activity is what I call it.
Right.
Well, doctors are getting kind of sick and tired of all the paperwork, right? It's taking away from their professional practice, right? So.
Yeah, so true. But I would hate to be a doctor these days.
Mm. But, that when you wrote that book, of course, back in 1998, the CPA profession looked, I think, a lot different than it does now. For one thing, I think, I'm just going to make a statement. I think a lot of CPAs are still selling things that their customers don't really want to buy. And for the most part, the profession isn't really offering things of great value that their customers actually want. CPAs haven't figured that out yet. I think that's in part because we're now in this age of information. Back in 1998, CPAs, attorneys, wealth advisors, in my humble opinion, they all basically possess proprietary information and knowledge. Now in 2015, most of that knowledge is out on the internet. It's easy to find. Granted, many customers don't apply it correctly, but the point is they have access to it, whereas 20 years ago, they simply didn't have access. So I don't know what you think, Ron, but I believe that's greatly changed the playing field for anybody who's a financial professional.
No, I think you guys are absolutely right. I mean, look, it's hard to compete with Google, right? if you can get something for free, then you know, your knowledge or your information certainly can be, you know, found on Google, then you've got to add value. And I think the number one issue facing the CPA profession specifically is relevancy. I think it's just sliding more and more into complete irrelevance. I mean, you know, they're playing historians with bad memories. All they're doing is reporting on the past. You know, the joke about the auditor comes in after the battle and bayonets the wounded.
Right.
This is so true. And I don't think they figured it out. And I think if it wasn't for the government regulatory revenue that they earn with stupid laws like Sarbanes-Oxley and Dodd-Frank, and then all the tax laws get more complicated every year despite all the talk of simplification – if it wasn't for that evergreen revenue, I'm not sure accountants would exist, because there's nothing sacred about a profession. They can go away if they're not adding value outside of ourselves. And I don't see a lot of value being added by CPAs, unfortunately. And I say that quite regrettably, but, you know, I have to speak the truth.
Yeah, well, what's interesting to me, certainly tax returns have lost any value whatsoever. They're now a price-based commodity. If somebody asks you, do you prepare 1040s, and you make the mistake of answering yes, the prospect's very next question is, how much do you charge for a 1040? But on the financial side, on the accounting side, unfortunately, most CPAs haven't figured out that business owners are looking for things like real-time accounting. They're looking for things like accounting into the future, where you're looking at key indices that might predict what your results are going to be and measuring those into the future. Nobody really cares about what happened 3 months ago, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because
I'm sure, are aware of Peter Drucker.
Mm-hmm.
And at one of his last public appearances that he gave before he died, it was a conference of CEOs, and he was kind of wheeled out on the stage in a big armchair, and he looked at this crowd of CEOs, and he said, you know, his rich Austrian accent, the person who knows your business the least is the CFO. And his point was, because they're focused on the past, and all they do is solve problems. They don't pursue opportunities.
Yeah, excuse me though there, Ron. We're going to get into the future right after this break. We've got to take a little pause. I apologize for that. But we'll be back with Ron Baker, founder of Verisage Institute, right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show. We're speaking with Ron Baker, noted speaker, writer, educator, and CPA in Petaluma, California. And Richard, where do we leave off?
We were talking about the future of the CPA profession. Ron, I went over to the other side in about 2003. You know, I'm still living. I mean, I stopped being a practicing CPA and joined what had been the largest client of my CPA firm that became a family office. So I found myself sitting on the other side of the desk actually hiring CPAs and attorneys and wealth advisors and so on. And I remember the first time I ever got a big, big bill that was based on hours. And it was a really interesting experience for me, because we had been charged a bunch of hours for something that had been worked on where we didn't get a result that was, shall we say, even close to being acceptable or satisfactory. That is to say, the value was low or none. And that's when it all became clear to me how relevant how relevant this concept of value is and how irrelevant this concept of input or time is.
It's really true, isn't it? And it's really stark when you're on the other side of the desk like you were. But, you know, I always tell all professionals who want to bill by the hour, look, it's exactly like when a friend or a loved one has a baby. You don't want to hear about the labor pains. You want to see the baby. You want to hear pictures of the baby. And what lawyers and accountants have done with the billable hour is, not only do they track the labor pains, they bill for them in 6-minute units. And
yeah, I mean,
all
my
time,
joke is,
it takes away the focus from what the customer cares about, which is the baby.
Yeah, and it's really negative for young people in the profession, those young millennials and so on, who don't even know what a piece of paper is, and they're being asked to account for their lives in 6-minute increments when they want to work virtually, they want to work from devices, they want to work not in a brick and mortar office building.
It's really no way to treat knowledge workers. I mean, let's face it, the only place time spent should matter is in prison. And if I have to account for every 6 minutes of my day, either my boss doesn't trust me or they're in a really outdated business model, because no other business on the planet, you know, Apple and Google people aren't doing timesheets, and yet they're still productive. They're getting a lot of things done. They're innovating. I mean, it's just insane, and you're right, it is burning out people. And I think it's making the profession less attractive. And I think that's another big problem the profession faces is the demographic time bomb of all these people retiring. I mean, something like two-thirds of the AICPA membership is eligible for retirement in 12 years. Well, I mean, you go to an AICPA conference these days, it's like an ARP convention, you know? And we're not doing a good enough job attracting young people because they look at CPAs and go, well, why would I want to do that? Be a slave to a timesheet.
Yeah, and if we can't attract talent, it bodes very poorly for the future.
But I mean, the Fortune 500. I mean, we do need financial statements and balance sheets for big companies and corporations, right, Richard? I mean, they are doing that kind of stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, we need the reporting, but we need what the reporting can lead to, which is the looking into the future, the planning. All of those applications. My best joke about time, Ron, is about the heart surgeon who says, I've got good news and bad news. He goes, the good news is the surgery only took 2 hours. The bad news is the patient died.
But,
anyway, hey, we've got one of our sponsors here with us, Alex Sonkin, who has a neat company. I'm not going to really tell anybody what that company does until the second half of the show when your partner Dan Morris is on. But Alex does a lot of work with CPAs and wealth advisors. He actually has a question for you. Alex, fire away.
Hey, Ron, great hearing from you. Question. I know we see a lot of examples of poorly run CPA firms out there, and we work with quite a few CPAs, and we try to take them to a whole new level. But from your experience, I mean, what have you seen out there in terms of just high quality CPAs? Are you seeing any characteristics or examples? I know maybe there's very few out there, but are you seeing any CPAs doing it right?
Yeah, there are some pockets of excellence, no doubt, and mostly from the smaller side. You know, the four partner, maybe up to six partner, 10 partner firms. I am happy to report that there are a few firms in the top 100 who are seriously looking at changing their business model to a more value pricing perspective and also eliminating their timesheets. Now, unfortunately, I can't mention any of them because I'm under NDA with all of them, but I think the profession has finally woken up from its stupor and realize that they have to change their business model. And it's a confluence of events. It's kind of like the perfect storm. It could be partly because of the cloud technology coming down on them. It could be to attract talent and make their firms a more desirable workplace rather than a sweatshop. But all of these forces, I think, are coming together. So I think you're going to see more and more bigger firms, hopefully, in the next decade or so start to make this transition. And, you know, CPA firms, kind of like law firms, they're like penguins sitting on an iceberg. As soon as one of them jumps in the water, then they all will, right?
It's true. So, Ron, tell us about VeriSage Institute, your co-founder, along with Dan Morris. Dan is going to be on the second half of the show. What's VeriSage Institute all about? Because for me, it's one of the most fascinating things that I keep track of.
Well, what inspired you to found it in the beginning to begin with?
Well, I didn't want to start when I finally decided to leave public accounting because of the writing and the speaking and all the other things I was getting involved in and in spreading this message, I realized that I didn't want to start a consulting firm. And I thought because I love ideas. I mean, I'm really passionate about ideas. I think the best model for ideas is not the university, talking about another maybe outdated institution, but the best model for ideas was the think tank, because think tanks, that's what they deal with. They deal in the arena of ideas and testing them and making sure they're valid and that they work based on empirical evidence. So Dan and I and my ex-partner Justin Barnett, we got together and we wanted to launch a think tank, and now we've got 25 fellows spread out around the world, and they're just as passionate as I am about this topic, as you'll hear from Dan when he comes on, and they're actually either teaching this and or practicing it in their own firms. So some of them are CPAs, some of them are lawyers, some of them are consultants, but they're all out there helping us spread the message and topple once and for all the billable hour in the timesheet.
Have you thought of doing like a TED Talks format for your institute, something like that? That might be interesting.
We have. I do a lot of public speaking. I probably speak at like over 120 different types of events. We tried to put on a TEDx. They're kind of a pain to put on. There's a lot of silly rules that you have to follow, but we do try and get the message out. And of course, writing is a big way for me to get the message out. because the written word is really powerful. And we blog, and now we've got the radio show, and we're getting the message out. But I don't rule out a TEDx. Mm-hmm. That would be fun to do.
I just mean your own type of, you know, using their format doesn't have to necessarily be a TEDx per se. I just thought maybe a Verisage type, you know, and using their format.
Right. We actually have done that. When we get together like once every other year, and we invite guests, and then we have people get up and do, we call them debt talks, DET, because the joke within Verisage, because it's not a monetary institution, that all it leads to is debt for the people involved in it. But and we make them do 6-minute talks in you know, celebration of the 6-minute increment on the timesheet.
Right.
But
So you got any books in progress right now?
We've got a brand new book out, me and my co-host Ed Kless, on our radio show called The Soul of Enterprise, mm-hmm. Dialogues on Business and the Knowledge Economy. And basically what we did is we took 6 of our shows and that were in a logical order, in a logical grouping, I should say, in
your,
terms
your
of
shows
topic.
Are logical? Hey, Joe, how could we do that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
and we turned it into an e-book, and now it just came out in paperback, too, and you can get that on Amazon. It's called The Soul of Enterprise. I'm really happy with how it turned out. And we self-published it, which was a learning experience.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's always fun.
So that's your 7th book, right, Ron?
That's correct.
Wow.
And it's my co-host's first book, so it's Ed Kless's first book. So I'm really proud of that, and I'm proud to be associated with it.
So, Ron, what do you think the CPA profession is going to look like 10, 15 years from now?
You know, it's always going to be around. I mean, I stopped trying to predict the future. It's going to be here because I think, like you said, Joe, you know, you're always going to need financial statements. I mean, that compliance mm-hmm. aspect for the tax laws and for the SEC and public company, that's never going to go away. Mm. But I think it's going to continue to slide into irrelevancy. I'm not sure, you know, I don't buy the fact that small firms are disappearing. I think the CPA profession mirrors the business community in general, and most of our businesses in the United States, at least, are smaller businesses. Mm. So I think I've been hearing about the death of the small firm my whole existence, and it hasn't happened yet. But gotcha. I do think that we're going to become just less and less relevant gotcha. Unless we do some dramatic changes. And people like Jody Paydar and other firms like hers that are, you know, bringing innovative business models and actually changing the business model, that gives me some hope.
Good.
That maybe we will be able to slide into adding more value.
Yeah. Well, Ron, thank you so much for being our guest.
Ron, really appreciate
it. We have to move along now and get to your cohort. But Ron is with Verisage Institute, and we'll give the website and everything after this. We've got to get off to new sports and weather. Thanks for being our guest, Ron. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, take care.